Welcome to Knowing the Economy of God with financial planner Tom Meglia.
And good afternoon, Knowing the Economy of God. We're starting right now with our host, Tom Meglia. Tom is a chartered financial consultant, accredited estate planner, and holds a Master's of Science in Financial Services with over 27 years of financial counseling and coaching experience. Tom is also a Crown Ministries budget coach and is a business and church consultant as well. In addition, he's an IAR and CLU, the financial planner with a face for radio. Here he is, Tom.
Hi, how are you?
Fantastic, how are you?
I'm doing great, and I want to just share the website. It's www.theeconomyofgod.com. And what's our phone number?
You can give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. 800-386-3700.
Great. And Reba, let's start the program as we always do with a couple of fantastic scriptures that remind us about not only the authority of God's word, but the reverent God's word.
Yes, let's do that. Let's go right now to 2 Timothy. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work.
Isn't that fantastic?
It just gets richer every time I hear it.
You know, if I hear that 10 more times, I'm going to memorize it. Okay, so we need 10 more shows, okay. So it'll stay in my mind. I won't have to read it. 2 Timothy 3,
so
16
good.
And 17. So I just want to remember that. Sometimes I forget, but it's 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. And, you know, it's really interesting, Reba, because sometimes we don't want to be trained. There are days where I don't feel like being trained. I don't feel like being rebuked. I don't feel like being taught. I don't feel like listening, let's say, to God's word. But I do. I want to. I know I need to. It's kind of like my exercise. I don't always want to go to the club and ride the bike and work out and lift the weights and go through all that stuff. I don't always feel like doing it. But we have to sometimes do things we don't feel like doing.
Yeah, because you don't want to be in bondage to this body. We have to keep it clean and wash it and, you know, make sure it doesn't stink. But we don't have to cater to this flesh, the whim of our flesh.
Well, and that's true. And see, that's the thing about 2 Timothy. All scripture is God-breathed. God wrote it. And that's where we come up with God's economy.
Mm.
The definition of the economy of God is God's thinking, God's ways, God's systems, God's writings, God's teachings, which we find in the Bible. And the book that's coming out next month, Reba, oh, come on, Lord.
I'm so excited. I want to see your cover girl.
Oh, she's sweet. She's awesome. She's on the Hall of Fame of Giving right now in heaven. That is from The Widow's Mite, the story of the widow's mite, which is found twice in the Gospels, not just once. It was so important. Jesus spoke about it twice in the Gospels, Mark and in Luke.
And that's not a cover girl you're going to see when you're at the grocery store.
Oh, no. But this cover girl is emphatic and important. And she knows God's economy, which is God's thinking. I wrote the book, Reba, based on the 66 books in the Bible and every economic financial principle that I could locate from Genesis through Revelation. And I'm trying to explain, as we are in this program, what God's economy is, how to understand it, and how to apply it to our normal and everyday life while asking God in the prayer of change to change our hearts, our minds, to obey Him.
And a lot of people are being touched through that. I mean, most of us don't have that kind of time on our hands to do that sort of the in-depth study that you've done, Tom. I mean, praise God that, you know, all the members of the body are different. The hand, the wallet. You're the wallet and the body of Christ. And you could do that. Now, explain to us.
Ask me, though, how long it took me to write this.
How long did it take you to write it?
Okay, I'm glad you asked. 3 years. Now, ask me how long it would have taken me had I known English and grammar and spelling and adjectives and verbs. And
you don't need to know that. That's for somebody else, okay? You're the concept man.
Our kids are so smart. It's like, Dad, this word doesn't go with that sentence.
Yes.
Oh, how come?
It's a different school district than when we grew up.
It would have taken me a little less time than 3 years, Reba, had I understood the grammar and the language just a little better. But at least it's done.
Well, and you are so thorough. I mean, a lot of people don't realize how much we can learn about our modern finances at looking at Old Testament stories and scriptures.
Absolutely. And in my 27 years of being a financial advisor also went into the book, as it does this program, because that's a study of people. It's a study of what humans do, why they do what they do with their finances, why do people spend where they spend, why do things mean and represent what they do in people's minds, stocks, money, real estate, job titles, job status, all that kind of thing. So we want to unravel God's economy and help people love the Lord, glorify the Lord, and be blessed. So, Reba, let's go with today's scripture. We're going to talk about more about Job today. We've been on Job for, what, 5 weeks?
So yeah, it's been good.
Let's talk further about Job, and we'll talk about what the scriptures are we're identifying, and then we'll go on to the economic principles, the application, and, of course, the prayer of change.
Let's do it. Job chapter 1, verse 3. All his possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 oxen, 500 female donkeys, and a very large household, so that this man was the greatest of all the people of the East.
Right. That was Job 1, verse 3. Go ahead.
And now chapter 42, verses 6, 2, 6, 10, 12, 13, and 16, starting with verse 2. I know that you can do everything, and no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. Therefore, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. And the Lord restored Job's losses. When he prayed for his friends, indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as before. Now the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camel, 1,000 oxen, 1,000 female donkeys. He also had 7 sons, 3 daughters, 16 after this Job lived 140 years. And saw his children and grandchildren for the fourth generations.
Exactly. Now, Reba, before we even go on, we've got to multiply or add. Look at the numbers from chapter 1, verse 3, all the sheep and everything he had. You know how God put that verse in there, and God says, okay, this is what he owned. And then when it was all gone in the middle of the book of the chapter, the book of Job, at the very end of the book of Job, look what he got. Notice how the sheep are doubled, the camels were doubled, the oxen, the donkeys, all of that was doubled. And he was given 7 sons, which in Israel that was considered a full and complete and blessed household.
Mm.
When a man had 7 sons, that's very significant in the Old Testament, because that meant, wow, you had a full household. Huge blessing. That number 7 sons was big. So was 3 daughters. So, and look how long he lived, 140 years. So now we're looking at the huge blessings. God doubled his possessions that he had. If you look at the chapter 1, verse chapter 42, you can see double.
Clearly. I'm no mathematician, but I can see it's double.
6,000 camels.
Wow.
He did own 3,000 camels.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look at it. It's exactly double.
Double.
So God said he would double the blessings, and he did. Because inside verse 10, it says, the Lord gave Job twice as much as before. Now the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning. And that's when you multiply, and you can see it was 2 to 1 mm-hmm. on every single thing he had. That is fantastic. But first, what happened, Reba? Job says, no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. He's talking to God. I'm getting upset here, Reba. This is wild. No purpose can be withheld from you, God. No purpose. I know that you can do everything.
Mm-hmm.
No purpose of yours can be withheld from you.
That reminds me of the fact that God is the creator.
The creator. No one's going to stop him, Reba.
That's right.
I mean, hear this. No one can stop God's plan.
Mm.
Job just said so.
Yep.
He said, no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. Therefore, I abhor myself and repent. Job was broken. Remember Psalm 51:17? If thou delighted in sacrifices, I would give them. The sacrifices of God are a broken and contrite spirit.
Hmm.
A broken and contrite heart, you, God, will not despise. Job was broken. God's plan was fulfilled. God's purpose was happening right in front of Job's eyes, Reba.
Praise God.
I'm just so excited about that, because in case anyone ever thinks I'm in the middle of the loss, I lost my money, my job, my marriage. Remember those 2 businessmen I told you about
mm-hmm.
from 4 weeks ago? Well, guess what? Things aren't over. The plan, God's plan for you. He loves you. He loves you with all his heart. His plan is happening. You may not be able to feel it or see it or sense it. His plan is unfolding.
And I remember the scripture that we had last week, how Job didn't curse God.
Didn't curse God.
He didn't sin in those times.
He praised the Lord, Reba. Mm-hmm. He said, may the name of the Lord be praised. We will not curse God. That is so awesome.
It's very important.
Don't let the break come up, Reba. I got to keep going.
I know. Here it comes.
Sorry.
Here it comes. We'd love to hear from you. 800-386-3700. If you've had a Job experience, or maybe you've gotten a double portion of what you had before and you're wondering, gosh, what do I do with this? I don't know what to do with it. Give us a call. 800-386-3700. Visit our website, theeconomyofgod.com. We'll be right back.
Tom will be right back with more insights into knowing the economy of God.
Hi, this is Dave Dino. There's an old saying, fail to plan, plan to fail. Do you know that most people fail to reach their financial goals simply because they never made them? Or they don't have a solid plan? Now, why is that? Well, because very few people really know how to. You see, most of us get our advice from a friend or a family member or maybe a coworker at the office. We have no formal plan or map to guide us along the way to our financial dreams. We usually have no one to coach us or give us solid advice because most of us don't know where to find a qualified financial advisor that respects our Christian beliefs, one who honors the Bible, takes financial advice and counsel directly from Scripture, and then applies it to our personal financial situation. Well, for over 28 years, Tom Meglia has been helping Christians formulate solid financial plans that work towards achieving their financial goals. Whether you're just getting started or concerned about your current plan, call Tom at 800-386-3700. That's 800-386-3700. Tom Meglia, financial coach and planner, to honor God by being a good steward along with reaching your financial goals. Now that's a solid financial plan. Again, call 800-386-3700. That phone number to call is 800-386-3700. Or log on to Tom's website at theeconomyofgod.com. That's theeconomyofgod.com. Or if you'd like more information about how you can have Tom come and share knowing the economy of God with your group, your Sunday school class, or hosting a workshop at your church, call 800-386-3700. That's Tom Meglia at 800-386-3700. 800-386-3700. Call him.
Now back to Knowing the Economy of God with financial planner and coach Tom Meglia.
And we're back, Knowing the Economy of God with Tom Meglia. We'd love to hear from you. 800-386-3700. Visit the website, theeconomyofgod.com. We just got finished reading some scriptures out of Job. Tom has come up with the four anchors in the economy of God, which are God is the owner, we are the steward, we need to be cheerful givers, and we need to be content with what God has given us. Now, Tom, can you explain the economic principles from the scriptures we read in Job?
Absolutely. I would love to. Job knew and even said that God can do everything, anything. No purpose of God can be withheld from God's plan, no matter what we try to do.
We can't mess it up?
We can't. God's plan is going to happen. Do we want to be part of it?
Yes.
Or stand away from it?
That's good.
Do we want to be in his will? Or go do our own thing selfishly and be out of God's will? Job knew it. He realized no purpose of God can be withheld. He said such. In other words, if there's a purpose in this terrible loss, this awful situation, then let it be. If it glorifies the Almighty and Sovereign God, it's okay what happened to me. If it glorifies God. That's one economic principle, Reba. Yes, it's difficult. I know people out there are saying, oh, Tom, that is incredibly difficult. Are you kidding me? Well, first of all, it is difficult, absolutely, but I'm not kidding you. Job's pride was exposed in some way, too, because he battled with God and even with his three friends over his righteousness and his indignation, because Job knew he was righteous. Like, why did he deserve this?
I hear people saying that all the time.
I'm good.
Why did this happen to me? Or why did this happen to them? They're good people. They were doing good.
Exactly. Well, one of the reasons it happened is to teach a lesson. Mm-hmm. And we need to learn those lessons. Because God's goal is different than Tom's goal. Tom's goal is more fleshly. God's like, no, I want you to be like Jesus Christ, my son.
And to fulfill his plan.
And to fulfill God's plan. That's his goals. Our goals are shy away from pain, shy away from any of that, and do what works and what's easy for us and what's fun. In Job's mind, Reba, he thought, why did God let this happen to someone so good as himself, as Job? That's where his pride came in. So God is saying, no pride. Pride. Uh-uh. That's God's enemy. Pride. So another one. Job then repented, which was good, and he was slain. In some Bibles it says, though I am slain, I will trust in thee. So he was slain. He felt it. He knew it. He realized he was slain. But he trusted in God, not in himself, not his ability to get back what he used to have, all that kind of junk. He was sorry. He repented. Mm-hmm. He took back, recanted all of the guff and nonsense and crazy stuff that he gave God when he was trying to play lawyer to God in a courtroom.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So that's what he was doing. God also decided to bless Job two times. Everything he had before, plus an incredibly long and rewarding life also.
Wow.
And restored his health, Reba. He restored his health. Remember the gums and teeth that were falling out?
Yeah. The boils.
All the boils.
Oh.
He was restored. He was healthy. And not only that, the Bible says at the end of chapter 42, Job's daughters were the most beautiful girls in all of the land. Job's daughters.
And he had the seven boys, which you were saying was the number of completion, was this full household.
Absolutely.
So significant.
That's right. In Israel days, forget my language, but in the days of back then, ancient days, that was considered a huge blessing. Very significant. Seven sons.
Uh-huh.
The restored property of Job also should not be seen as compensation or a commission.
The pride comes back.
Right. Perfect, Rita. That should not be seen as compensation for his piety. Job had to give up his demand for his former prosperity. Only then would God give it to him as a free gift, which is what grace is. You know, Job cannot demand, neither can we. Give this back, God. Give me back what was taken. We have no right to demand from God.
Because we're not the owners of it.
No, otherwise we're God. We're playing a mini God, the role of a mini God.
Wow.
We have no right to demand anything from God. Now, we can request it in humility, but allow God to decide what we should have because it will fulfill his ultimate purpose. That's the side of the fence, Reba, we need to be on.
Trying to get into his will instead of our own.
Exactly. That's the economy of God right there.
Wow.
Now, wait till you hear this one. The fear of the Lord normally leads to abundance and long life. But not always, as we see in the book of Job. Proverbs says, the fear of the Lord leads to a long life and healthy, abundant life and success. But in the book of Job, it ultimately did. But there was a time where it was taken away to teach Job lessons and to defeat Satan and to fulfill God's sovereign plan.
And his wife and first children didn't have a long life.
No.
But it glorified God.
It glorified God, Reba. And that really is the economy of God. We can't assume or presume that God always operates in this manner, as Job's friends did. They all said, since you were bad, you got punished. If you weren't bad, you wouldn't have been punished. They were wrong in their assumptions. We must not have the false assumption of the economic principle of divine retribution, that God must reward us and give into our demands based on our obedience to him. We can still obey him, Reba, and he can still discipline us, mm-hmm. or take things away from us, or withhold things if it's in order to draw us closer to Jesus Christ in that personal relationship we have with the Lord. So we must be careful not to have this false application, or it could lead to the prosperity movement teaching and the sin of tempting God or demanding things from God. Now, these are deep economic principles, but they're true. Now, Reba, I would like you to read Romans 8:28, because for those that say, whatever happened to Romans 8:28 in Job's life? Okay,
here we go. Here it is. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined.
Right. beautiful, Reba. All things do work together. It did for Job.
Mm-hmm.
It did for Job. That's where Romans 8:28, the cross reference, is perfect for the story of Job.
It's so perfect that he was called, Job was called according to God's purpose.
Definitely.
And who of us would not want to be called according to God's purpose?
Right, but in the middle of the story, we didn't see it. Job didn't see it. His friends didn't see it. His wife in the beginning surely didn't see it. Isn't our eyesight terrible?
Mm-hmm.
So we have to
Very limited.
Very limited. We have to. Jesus said, blessed are those who believe, yet do not see. Reba, we need to be the kind of people that believe but don't see.
Boy, that shines new light on that scripture.
And in real life application, allow me to share just two or three thoughts. Real life application. God does not owe us anything for righteousness and obedience. He'll bless us, but it may not be intangible things.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And in this lifetime on earth, we may not get the tangible blessing because we've obeyed God. It may come in a different way. We may learn more about patience and long-suffering, all the things we don't want to learn. It's like vegetables against chocolate and sugar.
Yeah, because he's not like, you know? He's not an ATM machine that we just go push the buttons.
Exactly, Reba. The reward we're going to get for obedience and love and righteousness is in heaven. The Bible says so. It's in heaven.
Yeah.
It won't be on this earth. God told Job, as does us, Reba, that he does not owe us anything for righteousness or obedience. That would kind of make us a mini God that would demand things. God isn't obligated to reward us. And also, he told Job and us, he does not have to make restitution to us for what was lost or stolen as a result of this lesson, which could be or is a loss in our life. The idea that God does not have to reward us for what we consider good works is an essential part of our biblical doctrine of salvation by grace apart from our good works.
A gift.
Right, grace. It
yes.
helps to prove salvation by grace is true. Away from our good works.
Mm-hmm.
We can't demand, and we better not, because God's a patient God. But be careful. That kind of attitude might bring down some heavy discipline.
Wow.
That's how God's economy works, Reba.
And God wants to bless us. And many of you may be out there saying, gosh, you know, God has given me a lot. Now what do I do? Or I've been through a Job experience. I may have pride in my life.
Right.
I may be too attached to my things. I may in my mind think I'm the one who got everything I have.
That's right. And that's dangerous, that
yeah.
kind of thinking, Reba. That is so dangerous. How about if I do the prayer of change?
Yeah, if you're listening right now, pray this prayer with Tom. Get your heart right concerning your finances.
Lord, I pray for myself, Reba, the listeners, the people at this station, those out there that will listen off the internet. Help us to learn the lessons of Job, Lord, to change, to glorify you in loss and suffering, trusting you, Lord God, for your plan. Help us to obey you, Jesus, and not be tied to any possessions, because those possessions are yours anyway. Give us the strength, Lord, change our life, our heart, to honor you with these lessons found in Job. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you prayed that prayer, we'd love to hear from you. 800-386-3700. Visit the website, theeconomyofgod.com. Look for Tom's new book coming out in just a month. Call us, 800-386-3700. We'll see you next week right here on Knowing the Economy of God.
Been listening to Knowing the Economy of God with financial planner Tom Meglia. Tom's desire is to teach God's people how to be good stewards, coaching them in the biblical principles of investing. If you would like to contact Tom with a financial question or have Tom speak at your church or group, call 800-386-3700. That's 800-386-3700 or online at theeconomyofgod.com. Join us next week as Tom Meglia continues to share his insights to knowing the economy of God. We'll be right back.